O Lord, may the meditations on all of our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon is based on the gospel reading which we just heard. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. It's an honest request by the sons of Zebedee. After all, who doesn't want to sit in the glory of God? Or maybe we could phrase the question this way. Who doesn't want to be glorified? Who doesn't want to be elevated in the eyes of men? There is the glory of God, but there is also the glory of this world. Godly glory and earthly glory are two different things, and examples of earthly glory are not hard to find. The Super Bowl winning quarterback is glorified. The blockbuster movie star is glorified. The rock star musician cranking out platinum albums is glorified. The government leader is glorified, and even lords over others. These people and others like them are glorified in the sense that we see them as being a step above the common everyday person. They are the center of attention and elevated in the eyes of men. Now, I want to be clear. The vocation of athlete, actor, musician, or politician can bring a lot of joy to a lot of people and be of great service to society. But these vocations do have the tendency of being glorified in a manner that does not always correspond with true godly glory. Ask yourself the question, is it earthly glory that you seek? Is this what James and John was after? Faithful disciples of Jesus, did they want to be glorified in the eyes of men? Our Lord reveals the ignorance of their request when he says, you do not know what you are asking. Jesus had just pulled his disciples aside to tell them that the Son of Man will rise from the dead after 3 days. That sounds fantastic. And it is. The resurrection will be a glorious event for the disciples, as it is for us. It is immediately following that prophecy, the prophecy of Jesus foretelling his resurrection, that the sons of Zebedee go to Jesus and ask to sit in his glory. Now, Jesus is gentle with the brothers. He doesn't deny their request, but he counters with a question. This is what our Lord says. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am being baptized? Their answer? We are able. We are able. The cup, friends, that Jesus is talking about here is the cup of suffering. The baptism Jesus is talking about right here is not his baptism in the Jordan. That event has already happened. The baptism Jesus is talking about here is the baptism of tribulation and crucifixion, which he will undergo. It is that baptism to which they are on their way as they make their way into Jerusalem. In the middle of Luke's gospel, we hear Jesus say this about his baptism of tribulation when he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. That's Luke 12, verse 50. The brothers of Zebedee, they seek the glory of God. And that's great. That is fine. Only to bask in the glory of God means you will drink the cup of suffering and you will bathe in the waters of tribulation. In other words, following Jesus in this life ain't easy. Expect hardships. Expect suffering. Now, Jesus is clear. He will rise from the dead in 3 days, but not before he first suffers many things. Friends, we don't get to Easter unless we first go through Good Friday. You don't have a resurrection until you first have a crucifixion. Jesus will rise from the dead, but not before he suffers many things, all of which we hear in today's gospel reading. He will be handed over to the chief priest, condemned to death, mocked, spit on, flogged, and finally killed. And 3 days after that, he will rise from the dead and show the world his victory, his triumph over sin, death, and the devil. For James and John and the rest of the faithful disciples, there will be suffering before glory, just as their Lord will suffer before he rises from the dead. Christians, the same goes for you. There will be suffering in this world and a bodily death before we get to the resurrection of the body. There will be hardships in this world before the Lord takes you to be with himself. There will be suffering before living in an eternal paradise with our Lord and Savior Jesus. For most of you, it's no secret that one time I was a musician and I wanted to be a rock star. And I worked very hard towards that goal, seeking that earthly glory. By God's grace, I want to emphasize, by God's grace, that dream did not work out. When we're young, we tend to be visionaries, don't we? Foreseeing these big and bright futures for ourselves. We're all going to be rich. We're all going to be famous. We're all going to be successful. And none of us are going to be like our parents, right? It tends to be how it goes. Earthly glory is tempting to go after, and it can be sinfully depressing when our life doesn't pan out the way we envisioned. The business you poured your heart and soul into collapses. That college degree and good job that you wanted never seemed to come around. The marriage you entered into so happy and optimistic over crumbled into a bitter divorce. The fairy tale life you had in mind, the picture perfect fantasy, has turned out to be a life of setbacks, hardships, suffering, and defeat. You know what they say, the window of opportunity gets smaller and smaller the older we get. Friends, being depressed because your life did not turn out the way you wanted, the goals you set when you were young were not achieved, that depression comes out of putting your mind on earthly treasures, earthly things, things which Jesus says rust and moths destroy. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, even the desires of the world, the entire world, the scriptures say, is passing away. Money in the bank will not aid you in your eternal destiny. An elevated status in the eyes of men will not gain for you satisfaction from God for your sin. Your job, your vocation, whatever it is, cannot save you from death. James and John, the faithful disciples of Jesus, are promised to drink the cup of their Lord's suffering and be baptized in the fires of tribulation. The same goes for us. In this life, friends, the Christian is promised to face suffering, and we too will be baptized in the fires of tribulation on account of the faith. We drink the cup of suffering. We share in the baptism of tribulation. Indeed, we share in the sufferings of our Lord Jesus. These things we cannot get away from in this world. The Christian life, as you have probably already figured out, is not one of earthly glory, and it is not one of prestige. And the other disciples get indignant, the scriptures say, over James and John for making such a request. The Lord Jesus sets them straight. He tells them, in this world, there are those who lord themselves over others. Quote, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. In a world that centers on prestige, success, youth, victories, and champions, these words of our Lord right here are radical and totally different from the wisdom of the world. Jesus is telling us to be a slave of all. A slave of all. Think about those words for a moment. A slave lives a life of servitude. Without getting thanked, without getting paid, But these words tell us something about the Christian life. If you want to do something great and grand, love your neighbor. Serve those around you. Be kind to your neighbor. Quit trying to get on top and chase that earthly glory, but serve your neighbor as a slave would serve his master. Yes, these are strong words from our Lord. But friends, get this. Not only does Jesus tell us to love and serve our neighbor, he gives us an example. He does it. Hear this word in Peter's epistle. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. That's 1 Peter 2:21. As Christ suffered unto his death, we too will suffer unto our death. As he has raised from the dead, we are promised by God and his word to share in a resurrection like his. But we also must emphasize, there is much more to seeing Jesus only as an example. If getting into our Lord's kingdom rested solely on our ability to follow Jesus and live under God's law perfectly, none of us are getting in. If inheriting his eternal paradise, if our salvation is dependent upon our love and service towards the neighbor alone, all of us are in serious trouble. Why? The old Adam, the sins of our flesh which weigh us down, want us to look to ourself, not the neighbor. The old Adam wants us to pay attention to me, not love and serve the neighbor who is in need. Thanks be to God. That is not how our Lord sees us. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, Jesus serves you. Dead in your trespasses, dead to sin, God in his abundant grace, mercy, and love sent his Son to be a ransom for you. That is, to give his life on the cross of Calvary. If you want to see God's love for you, if you want to see God's service to you, look to the cross and there see your Lord and Savior serving you by shedding his blood to cleanse you from your sin and to win you, to purchase you, to grab you back from sin, death, and the devil. That, friends, is godly glory. That, friends, is a glory the world cannot give. It is a heavenly glory. It is an eternal glory that is yours not by your work, your vocation, your job, your status in life. No. It is yours by the gift of faith which God supplies. Faith clinging to your Savior Jesus Christ, who has died for you, who has risen from the dead for you, who has died to make you his own, to bring you into his kingdom, to live in everlasting righteousness, purity, and blessedness forever. God's work and service to you. The world can't give that. That is a glory that does not come from the world. It is a godly glory, but friends, I tell you, it is yours freely by faith in your crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't be anxious about your life. Don't dwell on the mistakes and the sins of the past. Do not worry about what you will eat and drink and wear tomorrow. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus, has accomplished for you all you could ever want and all you could ever need. By laying down his life, friends, you belong to him. He has brought you into his kingdom. You have the glory of knowing you have been redeemed by his blood. You have been purchased by sin, death, and the devil. You have the glory of knowing right now by faith in Jesus there is no condemnation. By faith in Jesus you live right now as one with the forgiveness of sins, looking forward to the glory of eternal life. That is yours, won for you by your Savior, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen. We now serve our Lord with our tithes and our offerings.